with us as we gather. We're always reminded this is a no judgment zone. This is a place of grace. As we talked about last week, we're getting in the pool and nobody's judging. It's all welcome, and just as you are. We love you where you are. And God is just here with us, wanting to engage with us. We do want to recognize your presence with us. So in your worship folder is a connection card. If you could be so kind to take that out and fill it out. And we'd love to just fill out the front. We will not sell you soap or paper products or anything. But hey, we'd love to be able to recognize you and say hello and good morning and connect with you. As you maybe could notice, the screens are out. So we're going to go a little old school. So you have a bulletin. Everything's printed inside. So we don't need to fret. So we're all good. We'll go old school that way. Hey, we're in, yes, ma'am. Oh, we need to light the lights. We can do that during the first song. Just, thank you. So today, we're going to continue our series in Mark. And as we continue our series in Mark, we're going to have Christian, who is our volunteer mission director. He's going to come bring us the word today. We are at Hope. We are a church is about making disciples. I mean, and if you're going to make disciples, you develop people. You work with people. And we have been pouring in to all making disciples, and Christian has been willingly going through that journey, and we're excited to see how God is growing him and using him and to bring the word today. And so with that, I invite you to rise as we begin our worship together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're in this place. We welcome you. We open our hearts and minds to you. Say, God, speak to us today. We are your servants. Let your light shine in us that we may be may reflect that light to the world. So thank you for your gifts, your grace, your love, and your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to welcome God into this house. This is his house. It's not that he's not here. It's just our hearts. Let's prepare our hearts. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you. Lord, we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise, Lord. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. For you alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Sing that again. You our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem. Your renown fill the sky. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, you're welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. For I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who cross of salvation was only the start. Hallelujah. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am. I was made for more. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You bury my past, I'm not going back. I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Do you believe that today? So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
Sing that again.
I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
Thank you, Jesus.
So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made.
Well, it looks like we got the technical difficulties worked out. Praise God. Well, hello, Hope family. I'm Christian Bolden. I'm the director of ministry. Missions here at Hope on the Beach Church. On the way to the first service today, I was traveling the road and I was thinking, and I started chuckling because, first off, Pastor Jason has been preaching here for 20 years, three sessions a week. Steve's been a minister for 50 years. So I think about coming to do this, I think, you know, I'm stuck between Saban, coaching, and Lou Holtz. And, you know, so have a little mercy on me today. I'm not quite that caliber, but the Lord can do anything, right? So we're going to continue the sermon series today with questions in Mark. Where's the light? But before we do, let me tell you a little bit of a story that happened down at Shunk Gully a few years ago. It was right around the time frame of the 25th anniversary. Some of you members here will remember we had a big tent out here and had the 25th anniversary. A few weeks before that, Pastor Jason was preaching a message at Shunk. Well, all three services, but we were at Shunk. And we had been doing the circuit, I call it. We were in between churches. And while we were in between churches, Hope was one continuing. Can you hear me? Okay. So Shunk Gully was a service that we had continued to revisit. And one of the messages, the message that Pastor was on was actually about how he's thankful that you guys have supported him. And Christy and the ministry team and the staff for the last 20 plus years, and that you've been faithful and you've poured into the staff and you've been loyal congregation, and that we've seen growth and those kind of things through the years. But he said there's going to be a change, and one of the changes that's going to happen is that he was flipping the script. He said, we're going to be the ones now, the staff is going to be the ones that train you to go love on people, love God, and make disciples. He was challenging the church to the ministry, to say, hey, it's not just coming here attending, we're going to train you to go out into the community and be ministers. And so, rewind for us, Lana and I were sitting there hearing this, and we grew up, both of us, in a Southern Baptist church. And we, when we started dating and then we got married, we were attending a Nazarene church. And one of the first things when we walked in the door of that church, there was a banner on the wall that said, "Mercy triumphs over judgment." And they didn't just have a banner on the wall. They practiced it. They loved on us. They discipled us. They showed us how to make disciples. They showed us what a disciple was. They really just poured out and poured love on us and then took us through that process. And so through that church, I can thank them for the discipleship. But I remember sitting in that congregation, very similar to this, and looking at the walls one time, just praying, "Lord, the love and the mercy and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit here, I just pray, is there any way that the walls can be knocked down in this place so the community could see this? What's going on here? The world needs to see this. This is what ministry looks like." And so fast forward again, sitting into Shunk Gully that day, I tapped Lana. I said, "Did you hear what Pastor Jason just said? Exactly what we prayed for 20-something years ago, sitting there in that church." And I said, "Look," and that day, you know how at Shunk, how they have the walls rolled up? I said, "The walls are gone. We're out in the community. This is what we prayed for." So we decided right then, I said, "This is where, I've seen enough. Let's go. I don't know what, we'll just press in. You know, we go and look for the Holy Spirit, see where the Holy Spirit's working. He's working here. Let's go. Let's see what this is all about. I'm going to join a life group." I think that week there was a sign up for a life group. We came to the 25th anniversary, and we have been blessed ever since. We're thankful for the process that God has had us here. We're thankful for serving here. We're thankful for the community of believers here. And we've just been tremendously blessed, and we want to thank you. In our continuing sermon series, questions in Mark, where's the light? We're going to be reading through, I'm going to first read through Mark 4, 21 through 25, and then I'm going to revisit the verses one or two at a time. "And he said to them, 'Is this a lamp brought into, put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" When Pastor gave me this sermon, or he gave me the actual Mark 4, 21 through 25, and said, "Hey, this message is going to be, where's the light?" That's basically what you get. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, no. If anybody here knows me, I like to talk. Okay, so I was a photographer for 17 years. And guess what I studied for 17 years? Light. How much time y'all got? So let me show you what I did. I purposely canned this for you guys so I wouldn't go off on a tangent and geek out on this. So I mean, I've got some little nuggets in here, but we're just going to stick to a small script. So what is the nature of light? Light is a form of energy. Light is needed to see things around us. We're able to see the world around us because of light. We can read a book, we can look at pictures, we can see magazines, watch television, and see our phones. Because of the existence of light. And it is light which makes us see our image in a mirror. We detect light with our eyes. Though we see objects around us with our eyes, we can't see with our eyes alone. We need a source of light to make objects visible. So if you're in optometry, ophthalmology, photography, anybody that's in imaging, there's always this analogy they give. You know, if you sit in a cave and you put your hand in front of your face, you know, your eyes are working, your two cameras are working, but you can't see your hand because there's no light to bounce off of it. So you need an electric bulb. You need a switch on, you need a candle, we need light to fall on that object. We're able to see the object in front of us because light reflects off of it. Okay, I have to pacify my little light geekiness here for a second. But hey, do you know that when you see objects, you see them upside down? So just like in a camera, if you were ever in school and had a pinhole camera, the object is actually upside down when it hits the back of the camera. Well, your eyes work exactly like a camera. You have a lens and you have a retina on the back of your eye. Everyone sees in reverse and upside down. And your brain processes that information and flips everything back right. That right there just speaks to the nature of God, the creation. I mean, it's amazing to me. So anyway, I'm gonna stop. We're gonna transition off light. I can go on. Number one, light is meant to be revealed. We're gonna go 21 and 22. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket, so to be hidden, or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." You're the lampstand. You have the light. You don't have the light. You have to have a candle or a bulb. It's the same analogy as a vessel. So the lamp represents the truth of God's word, and specifically Jesus himself. So John 8:12 says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" The gospel was never meant to be concealed, but made visible to the world. God's plan has always been progressive revelation. What is hidden now will be revealed. So what should we ask ourselves? Am I hiding the light of Christ in my life? We should shine boldly around our families, our workplaces, and communities. Be open with your faith where you live, work, learn, and play. That's why our mission statement at Hope is awaken hearts to Jesus every day, everywhere, to everyone, right? Number two, truth will be fully revealed eventually. So we're in verse 22. "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So that's similar in Luke 8:17, when scripture repeats itself, I slow down and I pay close attention. So for nothing in Luke 8:17 is nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. God will expose what is hidden, whether it's good or bad. Judgment and reward are both linked to this principle in the scriptures above that we read. He already knows you. He already knows who you are. Your identity has already been captured. So going back to photography again, I'm telling my age a little bit, but when I first started in the industry, we had 70 millimeter rolls of film. And we had a cassette, a big cartridge thing that we had to put our hands in this dark bag, and that's how we had to do it all blind. We just put the film in, we take the film out. So the dark bag was to protect from exposing the light to the film. But when you're finished with the shoot, and it's a wrap, and you're putting everything back in the can, those images of those people that have been exposed to that light on that film are already on the can, in the can. You're basically taking those images of those people that's already been exposed, and you're putting it in the can, so everyone that was in there was already known. And so that's the way it works. God knows who you are. Light exposes who you are. Which brings us to our memory verse. "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. God will expose what is hidden, good or bad." Ecclesiastes 12:14. This serves both a warning and encouragement. Nothing escapes God's sight. He knows who you are. So what he really wants you to do is invite him into every aspect of your life. He already knows you. There's nothing hidden. He made you, and he knows your every thought, knows every hair on your head. He knows you. You've been exposed. He is the source of light. He knows who you are, and he loves you. His love abounds. So what should we ask ourselves? Lord, is there anything hidden in me that I am avoiding? Enlighten me and help me expose anything that is keeping me from being closer to you. That's an invitation, always. There is nothing nowhere in my life that I want do not want God invited. If it is, that's a little taste of separation. In a temporary, I don't want to even invite that little taste of separation because the eternal ramifications of that are eternal separation. So I want to invite him into every aspect of my life. He's invited everywhere. There's nothing unturned. So live with integrity, knowing God sees the hidden motives in my heart, in your heart, good or bad. Be transparent before God. Again, he already knows who you are. Repent and confess anything hidden. So who does this remind you of, though? It reminds me of David. David in Psalms 26:2, crying out, examine my heart, O Lord. Examine my mind. Know me. Look at me. Analyze me. Test me. Examine me as he was crying out. This is what this reminds me of. It's okay to be bare talking to him. Shed everything. Number three, hearing is what will happen if you do these things. Hearing determines receiving. And this is in verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Jesus emphasizes the importance of spiritual hearing here. With the measure you use refers to your attentiveness, your obedience, and application. Your openness to God's truth determines the depth of understanding that you'll receive. So again, what should we ask ourselves? Am I approaching God's word in humility, with humility and hunger? Or am I approaching it casually? Take personal responsibility to listen, learn, and live the truth. Back when we were serving at that church we talked about, we actually went to a rehabilitation home called Rafa House. And twice a month, me and another guy would go and share a Bible study. And we rotated, but we'd always go together. And so 3 months in, I'd keep noticing this guy that's just, every time either one of us are sharing, he's in there. He's jacked in, if you know what I mean. He's just watching, listening, taking it all in. He's a sponge. And we both noticed it. We talked about it. And so I think it was about the third month, I was walking out the door, and this guy hems me up in the back after teaching. And he goes, I really need you to tell me something. And I was like, okay, what can I do to help? I mean, I'm here. What's going on? So as he started sharing his testimony and his story with me, he said, man, I've struggled with drugs most of my life. And I am happy to be here. I'm thankful for you guys coming and sharing what you do. It's helping me out a lot. The people here, the staff are pouring into me. I've gave my life to Christ. I'm surrendering. I'm getting rid of these drugs out of my life. I don't trust alcohol anymore because I think it's going to put me in those environments where I want to use drugs. I'm surrendering to that too. I'm putting this down. I'm putting that down. I want to live a life for him. But I need you to answer a question for me. And I'm like, okay, what do you have? Shoot. And he goes, should I quit smoking? I'm like, wait a minute. First off, I'm not God. Second off, I thought, man, there's scripture that just I could answer that with. Bam. I could start in my head immediately because the scripture's written on my heart. Boom. It just started coming to my head. How to minister to that. But I sensed, I just listened to this guy's story. I put myself in his shoes and I asked him, I said, hey, man, it's been pretty hard to do that, hasn't it? It's been hard to lay those things down. It's been hard to change your life. Those crutches in your life have been there, and those are pretty big crutches. Those are things that are going to affect you, and you're going to have to fight those urges. You're going to have to, the things that you're learning here and you're being trained here to do, are teaching you how to hear. Has God told you to quit smoking? And he said, well, no, I'm asking you to tell me. I was like, well, listen, let me explain something to you. Spend more time in the scripture with these people around you, reading God's word and praying. And I believe one day, God will prick your heart and he'll answer that question. I already know the answer. I mean, God's going to convict. I told him the difference between guilt and conviction and started explaining that to him. I said, but what you're to do is to, the commitment that you're making is to be consistent and continue to pray, seek God, read your scripture, and be around these people, and you will know. You'll know the answer to that. But let God be the one that reveals that to you. Let God be the one that shares that heart. That's how we learn. So I just left him with that, and I didn't answer his question. So It was trying to teach him how to hear. Number four, faithfulness brings increase. Verse 25 says, "For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This is a divine principle in all of life, in life, in business, and everything. Faithfulness or consistency brings multiplication, but neglect brings loss. If we use what God gives us, he entrusts us with even more. This applies to truth, gifts, opportunities, influence, and resources. So, what does this remind me of? It reminds me of, do we not also see this in the parable of the talents? 2, 5, 10, the guy that gave, you know, the guy that had two was given five, then given 10. We see the one that buried it was chastised, and the other two that invested it, the Lord was pleased. So the two that invested it did not bury their talent. They did not hide it. They invested it. And in this case, if you translate that into what we're talking about, is they invested that in others. So what should we ask ourselves? Do we use our gifts, our knowledge, to love God and love people? That's the great commandment. Do we use our gifts and our knowledge to make disciples? That's the Great Commission. Many of you, has anybody here that served in the military? Do you understand a commission? That's what, there's first part of this is love God, love people, but there's a commission that you're called to. You're called to the first part, to love God, love people, but you're also commissioned. You're ordered. There's two parts. Beware of spiritual complacency. It leads to loss and not just stagnation. Do you understand, though, first, you have to be self-freed to bring the increase in you and through you. It's a decision that you make. As we conclude, God's truth, Jesus, is the light to be shared and hid, not hidden. Whether in receiving or applying this teaching will determine what we receive in return, emphasizing personal responsibility and spiritual growth. Those who embrace this truth will be given spiritually even more, while those who neglect it will lose even what they have. If anybody knows me, I try to simplify things, so I'm going to do this a couple of times. Jesus calls us to be bearers of light, seekers of truth, and faithful stewards. When we engage in his word, he reveals more. When we hide it, neglect it, we lose even what we have. What we reap is what we, and one more time to simplify it is what we reap is what we sow. So I'm also a very practical guy, so the first thing I'm trying to do is, okay, how do you live this out? Practical terms, how do we live this out? Number one, respond to the light. Don't hide it. Hear with intention, number two. God multiplies revelation to the hungry heart. Number three, act or do on what you know. Growth follows obedience. Man, this hit home. There's been many times in my life, in Lana and I's life, that we saw and we have. We're like, we have. Lord, thank you for the blessing. Will you let it go for growth? Which is more important, to have or to grow? Several times in our life, we've known we had to move. We've had to change. We've had to let go. Many times, that's been of resources and futures and things that we know we would have a comfortable life. But growth follows obedience. So where is the light? The opportunity is that the light is it can be in every one of you. When you allow Christ to occupy your heart as a lampstand or as a vessel, however you want to call it, whatever relates to you, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to go, love God, love people, and you have an opportunity to make disciples. I've simplified this even more in this meme I share with people that says, Christians become disciples. Disciples make disciples. The first part of that is become is transformation. The second part of that, the action in that is make. Make is duplication. We are transformed to duplicate. Transform to duplicate. You meet one, you help them transform. Why? To duplicate. It's that simple. Let go of the temporary so you can grab a hold of the eternal duplication. It never ends. Well, I want to thank all of you and allow me to share this message with you today and serving you as your missions director here at Hope. It is a blessing. I look forward to sharing again with you soon about what's going on our missions team is doing. But again, I'm a very practical person, and I'm always going to want to give you next steps. What's the next steps in this? I want to challenge you. I want to ask you to get involved. my message to Out in the Beach and Shunk Gully is, many of you passing through, get involved. Even if it's not here, get involved in a church somewhere, in a ministry somewhere. You know, use your gifts, your talents. Many of you are members here. Ask is just to get involved, not just because we need help. We have new locations popping up. We have different things that are going on, but we're not asking you just for the help because we need activity and we need help. We are asking you to help so you can go through transformation, so you can grow, so we can watch that and be a part of that take place and help the process. But because of the spiritual growth you'll receive, and it multiplies in others, we'll have many opportunities here for you to serve. We have disciple, and if you're looking for growth and you're looking for a way to get involved, we have discipleship huddles, we have life groups, ministry teams. If you like to pray, we have intercessors, and we have prayer tents. We have other outreach, and now multiple services at different locations. Our staff here, I know them. I know their hearts. They're committed to ensuring you can fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I know them. I talk to them regularly. I know what they want. Together, let's awaken a change maker in you and those around you. Awaken the Holy Spirit, the truth of God in you that shapes and changes you. Partner with us. Developing disciples today for a better tomorrow. What God is calling you to is a breakthrough from any darkness to a glorious light. This is an invitation and a challenge. It will grow your character and your competency. You don't want to miss it. I am thinking right now of a young man named Sawyer this morning. He stood in the gap for me. I typically haul the trailer to Inlet Beach. Here's a 20-something-year-old man that's stepping out in the world. He's already stepping in the gap. He's already stepping up, and he's taking charge. That is a potential leader that you have an opportunity to pour into. We need more. And what a better way for a young man to see than the oaks of the church leading and guiding and pouring into him and being examples and serving and showing him how to love God and love people and make disciples. Huge opportunity. We have a huge opportunity to inlet right now of a territory that we felt like we lost because of COVID. The Lord was so gracious to give us the territory back to serve. We have an opportunity there to leave a legacy, just as Pastor Ray left a legacy here. There's an opportunity for you. The Scripture tells us to leave a legacy for for tomorrow, for the ones coming. We have a huge opportunity to continue on that legacy here in the community. So this is such a blessing to me to even be able to share here, and I just want to thank you again. Together, let's awaken hearts to Jesus every day, everywhere, and to everyone. Thanks again, Pastor Jason.
Thank you, Christian. That was good. Appreciate it. It takes a lot of courage to keep going and working through it and stepping up here. And I got good news. We had 60 people at Inlet today. Yeah, and even better news, two baptisms, yeah. That will teach Ray, Pastor Ray, to come to church with jeans on. He should stop doing that. So I don't know if he had his cowboy boots on or not. He was saying last week, I don't get to wear these much. I'm like, well, you should wear them. I hope he didn't. We'll see. Well, that's good news, though. It is good news.
I want to just kind of bring us into maybe a little follow-up to this message in a time of as we prepare, as we move forward in worship. But have you seen, have you guys, did you get the picture? Have you guys seen this? How can you not see this Coldplay, right? If you have not seen this, I think you've been in the dark, right? But it's all over the place. And it's interesting. It's interesting on a couple levels here. The first level, what did we just read in Scripture? God knows everything. Nothing can be kept in secret. It will be exposed to the light. What happened when they got exposed to the light? If this was a video, what happens next? They, right? Right? They're like the roaches. Gone, right? Right? Because the light of truth reveals what? Truth. And the truth is, they were wrong. See, God's light exposes where we're wrong. Christian said, remember David said, search my soul, God, search in everything. Like, let your light search the darkness of my heart. Create in me a new heart, O God, because I know I'm sinful and unclean. And I don't want to have any darkness. I don't want to hide anything. Because you're really not hiding. You're only playing a game with yourself. And what is that? But what does the light do, though? God's light is not a bug zapper. It's a warm light. Yeah, it exposes, but what does it do? It also draws us, right? It calls us. It bids us to come into the light. So what? We can be free and have the better life he's promised to give us. That's what Christian was leading us. He's saying, look, man, we have greater increase. We don't even wear the increase God can do in our lives because we've not fully stepped into light and followed him. We got a little bit of light and a little bit of darkness. And God says, here's the word. Here's the light. Let me grow you up and give you increase. Before that, we got to take a little bit of apostle. We got to take a little John the Baptist. I must be less so you can be more. And so maybe let's just take this moment and let's go to God and let that prayer be our prayer. God, is there whatever darkness in us, expose it now. Search me, God, and show me where I'm hiding you, where I'm bearing you, where I'm resisting you, where I'm in fear. Or I'm choosing self-preservation over surrender. Or I have doubts. Now, maybe the truth is we're afraid to get close to you because we know how unholy we are. And that's the grace, is that the light stepped down into the darkness. It stepped and came to us. You didn't wait for us. You came for us. And you come for us now. You come to us even in our darkest places to bring light that's not to condemn, not like the world does, that's condemning this couple, but to restore, to save us from the death of darkness. And what does Scripture say? To bring us into your marvelous light. Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus for us. We thank you that even Good Friday, that looked so dark, was actually a place of light. But it's because it shows that your love is far greater than any sin we have. That light truly does conquer all darkness. And so, God, we stand in you in your light. We stand in your grace as one redeemed, one righteous, a child of light, to give you praise and honor. And so, Lord, let us be courageous with that light. Let it, the light that's given, let it just shine. The most courageous things we could do is wherever those things you call us to in our everyday life, those little things become big things. Who knew that Christian that day saying yes in Chunk Gully to yes to pushing carts leads to just more bigger things? And your path is different, but whatever it is, God, let us be faithful for the little things to lead to better things. And so, God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your light that shine on us, that you have made us known, and the light that preserves and keeps us in the one true faith. We celebrate with you. And therefore, as your children, we confidently pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is as children who have been given a light, and we've been given all those resources, that we faithfully respond to God in His Word, in His sharing, and make that investment, that we don't hide these treasures, but we invest back in to what God is doing, His work. I mean, this is what we get to do, to multiply. How do we make more disciples and expand and go to Inland? And so we have an opportunity as a worship, there's an offering envelope in your worship folder, or you can use the text to give, or go to on the website, whatever will work for you, and continue your worship that way. I do want to draw your attention to the connection card again. If you go to the back side of your white connection card, you can share what you're celebrating today. First-time believer, confirming your faith in Christ, we'd love to talk to you about that, or if you've been baptized, want to be baptized. Just encouragement that your faith has grown today. Also encourage you to jump into life groups on Tuesday night, where it's a great time over here at the Bistro. We have dinner and have a great discussion around a different text, really these teachings of Jesus that are kind of conflicting. They're a little bit struggling, sometimes hard to understand, and we get around it. We have planned an event for a bonfire this Friday. It seems like it might be bombing out. I don't know. So if you really want to be at the bonfire, please let us know. If you want to bring friends, we need to know how many people are going to come. If not, we're going to extinguish that and do it another time. Also, you see the men's breakfast. And then if you'd like to learn more about Hope and be part of it, there's partnership classes, which is just sharing our vision, our story, and help you to be a partner what God is doing here. And then also, if you'd like to continue on to membership. Lastly, you see I have that serve. We have foster children opportunity to continue to go and serve and love them and be Jesus with skin on and show them that unconditional love, that they are valued, they're important, and they're worthy. And your presence there speaks that in volume. So if you will be interested in that ministry, please check it. We'll get follow-up with you. And just lastly, you got this card in your thing. This is just a reminder, as we do Inlet, it's first and third Sunday right now. This is how many volunteers we have, the capacity we have right now. As we continue to grow, we'll move weekly, and we are adding this service, and we're not taking away from Ed Welling, and we're not taking away from Sean Gulley. We're not moving Ed Welling to Inlet. There's been a lot of confusion somewhere, but it's very simple. We're adding additional service, okay? So with that, we continue our worship. We invite you to bring your connection cards and offerings to your respective plates on your side as we worship together.
My words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I can sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move, with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
As we come to the Lord's Supper, the light of the world comes to us once again in the simple forms of bread and wine that we take it in. That know that that light shines and fills every part of us. It illuminates us. I was kind of visualizing taking the bread, and as I give it to you, like it would light up as you ate it. It would be kind of fun. But in a sense, that's what's happening, right? We're asking the light of Christ to rule in our lives. That it feed every part of this body, that it would heal it and its brokenness. It would set us free. It would deliver us. As it's the Passover, God delivering his people from death and slavery into life. And so God is a deliverer, he's a savior, and he's here for you. To minister to you, to work through you. In all your brokenness, so his light shines. And the Lord Jesus Christ, night betrayed, he took bread, and after he gave him thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given."